This is The Gaggle with David Helfenbein.
Welcome to The Gaggle.
Today's guest is CNN political producer Dan Merica. Dan, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Dan, right now you are traveling on a campaign. Are you traveling only on Hillary Clinton's campaign, or are you traveling on others as well?
I started out covering all Democrats in 2016. That included, obviously, Bernie Sanders, but also Martin O'Malley, Lincoln Chafee, and Jim Webb. But as the campaign picked up, I've been exclusively covering Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Can you give us a little behind-the-scenes perspective of what it's like to travel on a candidate's campaign?
You know, it's fun. It's a grind, no doubt. It means, you know, early mornings, late night. You fly from event to event, sometimes spending, you know, mere hours in locations. We, you know, just last week we flew to Pittsburgh to get a sandwich at famous Permane Brothers. You know, we've flown places to just do quick in and out events, and then sometimes you stay for a long time. During the New York primary, we did, you know, an 8-stop New York City day, which was just a, you know, one event after another. And it really depends on the day, and it depends on where you're campaigning. Campaigning in Iowa is dramatically different than campaigning in New York. So
now, what exactly do you do? Do you write for the website? Do you film? Do you do stuff on social media? What is your role?
It's kind of a jack of all trades job. You certainly write for the website and feed that medium. You also help with TV production. You help with people who are on-air reporters, who on the Democrats is Jeff Delaney and Breonna Keeler. And, yeah, social media is a huge part of it. You know, getting their reporting out there, timely, being part of the conversation, driving traffic to the website. You know, social media, especially Twitter, is key to that. So I consider that, and I know a lot of the other embeds and reporters on the beat consider that a big part of their job. And it's enjoyable as well. I mean, you feel like you are part of the conversation when you're, you know, tweeting your story, tweeting your observations, and it provides people with a behind-the-scenes look. You know, something they might not see on the camera of the candidate is, you know, what's going on to the left, to the right, or what, you know, the people at the event are doing and talking about. It kind of gives you a slight behind-the-scenes access.
Do you think this has changed over time? How do you think it has changed over time? For example, do you think 50 years ago, there was just a print reporter, or there was just a camera reporter? I mean, how has this changed with social media in the past 5-10 years of people who have followed campaigns? In your observations, how has it changed in the past, you know, 2 or 3 years?
Well, you know, it means the news cycle is far faster than it used to be. I'm no expert on the way campaigns were covered 50 years ago, but it seems to me that, you know, a news cycle was a whole day. You know, something would be printed in the paper in the morning, and that news cycle would continue until the next print edition, the next morning. Now you have, you know, multiple news cycles per hour, let alone per day. And, you know, I was unsure of Twitter at first when I got into journalism. I wasn't sure what the purpose was. I wasn't sure what it served. And while I've certainly adopted it as a way to kind of get my reporting out there and be part of the conversation, I also tell myself at times that, you know, not everyone is on Twitter. You know, it's a small sliver of the population is on Twitter. And, it's at times it's mostly, you know, people in DC, in New York, on the coast talking to each other, and you got to find a different way to reach other people, and that's why we have so many different mediums to do that.
You use Twitter, you use Instagram as well?
Oh, yeah, everything.
What are your favorite social media tools for different types of events? I mean, do you find a tweet is good to get out a certain message but is not good for other things? I mean, what is your advice to people covering political events on social media?
Well, I mean, I think you have to balance adding to the conversation with, you know, tweeting the thing that everyone else can see. So, you know, let's take last night, for example, Hillary Clinton won 4 out of 5 states. She had a big rally at the Pennsylvania Convention Center in Philadelphia. I mean, something that, you know, most people are going to see and you're probably going to tweet is something about, you know, something she said. So she offers an olive branch to Bernie Sanders and his supporters, saying that, you know, he's elevated the conversation on campaign finance and she's at campaign finance and income inequality. And so, you know, you tweet that. That's the big moment of the speech. That's what everybody's kind of looking for. But you can also tweet, you know, things behind the scenes. What attendees are doing. The fact that there, you know, there's a cash bar nearby and people are certainly celebrating. It was a revelry. It was like a party atmosphere inside. And then other events, you know, there are moments that I think Instagram is the best, and it really, a photo can capture the feeling of an event. A good example of this would be, you know, Secretary Clinton did an event in Connecticut with two of the family members impacted by the Sandy Hook shooting. And during the event, it was a town hall, during the event, a pastor stood up and told this, you know, gut-wrenching story of how his 20-year-old son was killed. And he had the whole room, including Secretary Clinton, wrapped for, you know, 5 minutes. And then after the event, one of the Sandy Hook, the daughter of the principal killed in Sandy Hook, walked over to the pastor, and they shared a very long hug. And, you know, I snapped a photo of that, and, you know, that photo to me told more than anything I could write or tweet about their interaction.
How did you get to where you are today? What is your path in journalism?
I graduated from Bentley University in Boston with a degree in foreign policy and global studies. And then I went to grad school. I thought that I couldn't get a job writing journalism after studying foreign policy. And so I went to grad school at American and connected with somebody at CNN while I was there who actually had graduated from American. And, you know, lucky enough, got an internship at CNN, and they kept me there for the last almost 5 years now. And, you know, started out kind of doing everything as their entry-level position was called the news assistant position, and worked my way up and was assigned to cover Hillary Clinton. At that time, it was just, you know, her speaking tour, her book tour, and what was thought to be, you know, the start of her presidential campaign. I was assigned back in November of 2013.
We recently spoke with Nick Merrill, who talked a little bit about logistics and traveling on the campaign. I'm curious, from your perspective, what it's like. Do you travel on the chartered plane? Do you travel in the motorcade? Do you meet up with them a lot? How does exactly it work for you?
So I travel in the bubble. It's the terminology, which means you're in the motorcade. You're within Secret Service protection. Secretary Clinton does not travel on the same plane as the press, unlike other candidates. So we are on our own plane. So Nick and Secretary Clinton and her other aides will be on their own plane. But yeah, we travel in the motorcade regularly. Sometimes we jump ahead to get ahead of her for events. It's a very different way of traveling. I mean, you're hopscotching. You're just quickly getting to places, setting up, breaking down, and then getting back on a bus. Before we traveled this way, it was a lot of driving. I mean, you were driving yourself long stretches in Iowa. A lot of people carpooled. And before that, I mean, when she was on the book tour and the paid speaking circuit, it was flying into cities, and you were there for a longer time, kind of preparing for the event, and then flying out, because she was really only, you know, she would do maybe one or two appearances in a city at a time, so it was more manageable. You know, we've had days, as I mentioned, you know, an eight stop day in New York City, which, you know, 2 years ago while she was on the book tour or on the paid speaking circuit was kind of unheard of.
Have you seen Secretary Clinton change throughout the course of this campaign at all?
Yeah, I would say she's certainly sharpened her message. She's become sharper herself at delivering that message. I mean, I think if you look back at the messaging she used during her launch, even her campaign launch speech at Roosevelt Island last year, I mean, she was talking about FDR and the four fights, and you know, she regularly used the term "everyday Americans" to the point that it was kind of a meme on the campaign trail. And now you're not really hearing much of that. You're hearing a different messaging about breaking down barriers, and these are all things that have been, you know, clearly been tested, but also have just evolved over time as to what the campaign has seen, what's working on the campaign trail, what's resonating with people. You know, there are some consistent, you know, lines. I would say that the line that probably gets, you know, the most response from her speech, and that has been the case since she started, is when she talks about equal pay. And while that line has changed a little bit, it's it's a consistent applause line for her, and it's something that I think we'll see well into the general election if she's the nominee.
Where do you get most of your news from?
I get a lot of news from Twitter. You know, there are certain publications that I read on a daily basis. I also have the benefit of working for CNN, so a lot of the news that we report is ends up in my inbox, and so I pick it up that way easily. But I, you know, Twitter is a great source of information for me. I use, you know, someone who has a beat and covering a beat. I use Google Alerts a lot for the different people that I cover. You know, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Chelsea Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and so that helps with kind of sorting through all the different stories out there and targeting, targeting the stories that I need to read. It's also nice. We have a, you know, we have a team that cover Democrats. So, they also read, get news their own, you know, their own way, and we'll flag it to the group as well. So it's kind of an ad hoc, but I would say mostly Twitter, my email, and a mixture of Google Alerts and publications that I read consistently.
What is a typical day like for you, if there is such a thing, and a typical week? I mean, I know you're traveling a lot. Is there such a thing as a typical day or week?
David, there is no typical day. it really, really varies. I mean, you can have days where she's not doing an event until the mid-afternoon, and you have a morning to not relax, but to kind of go to the gym and work from there and work from the hotel. And then you have days where call time is 5 o'clock in the morning. But I would say the standard normal day, if you had to, you know, kind of average out what most days are like, are 3-4 events a day, early morning call time, probably getting in by 9 o'clock, if not later. And that is, you know, that's been the norm recently, especially campaigning in New York and Pennsylvania, the March 15th states as well.
Are you on call all the time? Can your phone ring in the middle of the night and they need you?
Yeah, absolutely. I signed up for this job knowing that it would be, you know, all consuming and something that I would kind of devote my life to until November of 2016. And that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted to do. I consider myself to be on call 24/7. And it has happened before. I've gotten calls in the middle of the night about stories that we need to confirm, and so that's part of the game, and it's welcome.
Do you have any behind-the-scenes stories or perspectives from a candidate or on the road with other reporters that you're able to share?
Well, you know, I've always thought, you know, I read a lot about, you know, Hillary Clinton before I started covering her, and the thing that you hear often is that, you know, she's not a good retail campaigner. And I've been struck by how I don't see that being true. You know, she connects with people on the rope line regularly. You see her in small settings, and she connects with people, in photo lines, on the rope line, when she does these small meetings. You know, her campaign early on decided and committed to doing small events where she would be kind of in a round table situation, listening to people's issues and problems and answering questions. And it was a departure from what Bernie Sanders was doing, huge rallies. And I remember covering his rallies in Seattle and LA and Oregon. And I mean, these were, you know, 17, 18, 19,000 person events. And part of it was that Hillary Clinton at that point, and maybe even now, had trouble building an audience that big. I mean, she probably couldn't draw out 20,000 people. Bernie Sanders could. But I was always struck by covering these small events at her ability to connect with people, and how that went against, you know, the conventional wisdom on her as a campaigner. I remember at a small OTR stop, where she met with a young girl who talked about her family being deported. This was in Nevada. And, you know, Secretary Clinton really connected with her. The girl walked over, gave her a hug, and this actually was turned into an ad. And so the campaign has tried to get this message out that, you know, she does connect with voters. It's not, you know, the conventional wisdom you hear is not accurate. And so it's one of the problems they've they've had to deal with is how do you get that out there to the masses and kind of counter that conventionalism. And one way is certainly ads. The other thing I'd say is just the amount of time it takes for a campaign to make a decision has been striking. I mean, Secretary Clinton has a cadre of aides with her. She has to deal with Secret Service that kind of makes things more difficult to just do spontaneous things. I remember in New Hampshire, you're driving from, I think it was Concord, to Keene, and it took the campaign, 45 minutes to decide whether or not to go get a cup of coffee and whether the press would come along for that as well. I mean, these kind of things that you and I and other people decide to do just spur of the moment, pulling off the road and getting a Starbucks, for someone who has Secret Service protection like she does, can be very difficult. And it's something that I think, obviously, she's gotten used to over time. She's had Secret Service protection, definitely since 1992. So it's something she's gotten used to. But watching it in a campaign setting where spontaneity is valued and just talking to people is valued, it's certainly been something she and her campaign staff have had to deal with.
The final question, which I ask of everyone, is you seem to love what you do. The question I have for you is, how would someone get to where you are, and what advice would you have for them?
My advice to anybody who's trying to start out in journalism is that no job is beneath you. I remember when I was getting into CNN, I was just so happy to be there and was willing to do anything that people needed me to do. And I think that that's the attitude people need to have. Then you need to be willing and able to do anything, whether that's get scripts for people and run them into the control room down to getting coffee. I was happy even that back then to get coffee. But as your campaign, clearly I have campaign on the mind. As your career progresses, though, I think it's important to also know exactly what you want. I knew early on that this job that I had was something I wanted to do and an experience I wanted to have. And so it was something I let my bosses know I wanted, and something that I committed myself to and kind of tried to work towards. And that really helped. Having that goal was extremely helpful and important to me. And I think paid off in the end. People who hired me to do this job, Mark Preston, David Chalian, other people at CNN, they were well aware of the fact that I wanted this job. And so when these opportunities came up, it was easier for them to chat with me about it. And I knew what they were expecting going into it. And I think, you're right. Loving what you do is critical. I love what I do. If you didn't love this job, it would be hard because you are giving up so much. You're giving up time and any semblance of a normal life. And it's the same on both sides. The campaign aides and staffers do it as well. Many of them are, carrying on long distance relationships and working crazy hours, as crazy as the journalists that cover them. So the thing about elections and politics, I think, that is critical. And what you mentioned is you have to love this job and you have to love what you do because you're giving up so much. But to me and to other people who do it, it's absolutely worth it.
Dan Marica, CNN political producer, thank you so much for being on.
David, thanks for having me.